This is Hard Facts.
It's gone past the 5 o'clock hour, officially welcoming you to the big Hard Facts on Hard Fact 99.3 Nigeria Info. In case you're just joining us, we're broadcasting live from our audiovisual studios right here in Itimiyan Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos. I'm Mary Anna Corn, and I did tell you that we're going to be talking about internal democracies within political parties across the country. And this conversation is not about the PDP, neither is it about the APC or the SDP or the Labour Party. It's about all of them. And the reason why we're having this conversation is because every single time an election cycle comes and goes, political parties seem to want to implode, for the want of a better way to describe what happens in those political parties. And then because of the uniqueness of how the political systems run in the country, we see a mass movement from left to right, a cross-capiting of sorts. And you wonder to yourself, do these guys have a plan? Do they have a blueprint? Do they know where they're going? And if they want to deliver some what they call a democracy to us, the people, do they even understand what it is? And is it even domiciled within what they call their political parties? Hence the focus on this conversation today. My guests, two of the best and the brightest, coincidentally, from the same place. I promise you, I did not do this on purpose. It just happened. These two are my very good friends too. I think I have too many friends that are politicians and analysts. one I call the political Rasta. The other one, hey, my God. Opunabo Nkotaria is here. Eugene Abels. Both joining me via Zoom. I didn't plan this, so please, gentlemen, you know that it's not me that even called you guys. It's not me. I'm not there. It's good to have you guys join us. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Marianne.
great. Just as I started with my opener, we continuously see political parties in the country want to literally go bust after every election cycle or even before it. Either it is the fact that, we're trying to update our party register and then you see problems, or it's about a leadership tussle of sorts, or even when they want to have their internal party elections, we see all kinds of barbarism, for the want of a better way to describe it. And these are people who are selling us the idea or the ideology of a democracy. And we don't necessarily tend to see that there is a democracy within these political parties. Why is that so? I'm going to start with you, Punabo.
Sorry, why is that what?
Why is it that we don't necessarily see a demonstration of democracy internally in political parties in Nigeria?
Well, I refer to not just internal political parties, intra-party politics, just politics in general. I refer to them as apparition of democracy. Yes, we just dream and imagine that we're going to have democracy in the country, whereas what we have is autocracy and not democracy. We have a situation where, especially with the political parties, it's even worse, where you find that just a microscopic few is being, the majority is being managed by the microscopic few. For example, like you said, not PDP, not APC, but let's say Party A, you have just a few persons hijacking the party for their own selfish reasons. No party is founded on ideology in Nigeria, so to speak. And that's why I was really averse to the Supreme Court judgment that said, in the Amaechi's case, that said you have to vote for the party and not for the persons. I strongly disagree with that. Because in Nigeria, we don't vote for parties, we vote for individuals. Let's take, for example, the Labour Party in the last general election. We're talking of P2B right now. Mm. A lot of persons voted for P2B. They didn't vote for Labour. It was P2B that made the Labour Party relevant. And that is the case. It's homologous. It's the case all over. Most persons don't vote. If you see a godfather moving from one political party to the other, you see the fullers also moving. That's why I refer to them as imbecilic foolership. You see, the foolers also move into that political party. So the parties are not based on ideologies in this country. Of course, the founding fathers, well, like the PDP founding fathers, the likes of Alexei Kwame and so, they had the ideology. But it has been bastardized. And that is because most party members, unlike the MPN days, the UPN days, where you pay your dues, most party members don't even bother to pay their dues. If you remember during the Shagari time, the national chairman of the party was the last to appear at meetings. The president attended meetings before the arrival of the national chairman of the party. That is when you had the party supremacy. Unlike today, where the governors and her presidents are now made leaders of the party and heads of the party. And most times they hijack. If you look at even the local government elections, if a local government elections are being conducted and the governor is from a particular political party, only that party wins the election in the whole city. Are you trying to tell me that no other person from any other party is more popular than the party in power, the candidate that the party in power presented? It is not possible. We only saw a distinction in Kaduna State under El Rufai, and it became news. What ordinary should be the normal became the news. Because it was more or less like an aberration. It was something that people least expected. How can you, an APC governor, will allow any other person from any other political party to win the local government election? And he had kudos. Yes. So that is the problem. And it boils down, you know, I always tell you this, Miriam, that it's because people with distorted perception of life were accidentally discharged onto the political surface. And that is because of the Maradonic nature of IBB. Many persons impugned the transition process, and most decent men stayed away. They didn't want to get them swim in the murky waters of politics. They didn't want to get themselves involved. They didn't want to get their reputations stained, destroyed. And so they stayed away. And so most persons who got involved, I don't want to use, because we're a live program, I don't want to use certain words. Otherwise, permit me to say, charlatans got involved. People that were depraved got involved in politics. And you cannot bequeath to a society what you don't have. And that is the bane of us. Sorry, let me digress a little. Most persons who we are hitherto illiterate, in quotes, because if you say the strict sense of illiterate is someone who cannot read and write, but illiterate, in quotes, who barely had the school starts and so on, once they got into office, give them 8 years, they are PhD holders. That's the kind of society we have. But tell them to defend their school cert. They cannot defend that school cert, but they're already PhD holders. So values were eroded. We lost our values. And that is why we are where we are today. And that affects the intra-party politics.
Okay. Let me go.
Human beings no longer. Okay.
Let me go to Eugene for time reasons. Eugene, I want to refer you to what has transpired in Edo State, which has led to the impeachment of the deputy governor. I mean, some people would say it's a whole different kettle of fish, but it started with internal party dynamics, from the crisscrossing from the APC to the PDP, to the fact that, oh, my people are feeling like strangers in, you know, the PDP, to wanting to be the deputy governor. Something that could have been resolved in-house, of course, became a national issue. Let's move away from that and bring it to Ondo State. Over the weekend, Ondo State had the APC primaries, and the house just went bust, and they didn't settle it in between themselves. They're talking about it on the pages of newspapers. They're saying it was a sham of an election. They're calling for the head of the governor of Kogi State, Ododo, for sitting in a hotel room and writing results, etc., etc. And this is not an election between different political parties. It's one political party. And one would hope that this would be something that would be sorted out amongst them. But we're seeing this implode right in front of us. So again, I asked the question that I asked, Opunabo, why is it that you're selling me something that you have not even in your own, within your tiny little house, been able to conquer?
Yeah, but now I didn't lay the foundation. But first of all, I'd like to give you a historical background of Ondo State. The fall of the First Republic, Ondo State had a role to play. It was just a province in Western Nigeria. The crisis between Akintola and Awolowo was 1964-65. And later, the crisis between Omoborowo and Bajasin or so then, which led to heavy violence and so on. Then in 2016, the Jimoh Ibrahim matter and so on. So in those states, they're quite politically elitist, and the people tend to be quite active in politics. But when I laid the foundation, but if you look at it another way, who did they send to superintend the elections? What is his political precedence? What is his love for the rule of law? A man who emerged as governor through controversial circumstances, who only about 7 days ago prevented law enforcement agents from carrying out their lawful duties. And what do you expect such a person to observe the rule of law? No, all of this is a reflection of the failure of institutions in Nigeria. Where is the regulator in all of this? Recently, after the NEC meeting of the 98 NEC meeting in PDP, I commented on X to something that Chidoka wrote, and I told them, like Opuna had mentioned, when did the parties declare their financials? As long as government houses keep funding them, the government houses will begin to define what happens. The 10th National Assembly is sitting. They've started amendment of the Constitution. They have not sought to people, what do you want amended? One of the primary things that should happen is we should banish delegate elections because it's totally undemocratic, non-inclusive, and this is what makes people to arrogate all kinds of power. It is a shame 20 years plus after the Fourth Republic that we cannot conduct simple elections. Let me shock you, like you even just mentioned, the parties do not even know the number of members they have. Ideally, their membership should be online, attached with your name, something to identify you, which INEC should have. If you're updating, once new members join, you update your register. If that is being done, the people sitting in Port Harcourt are pretending to be House of Assembly members won't even be sitting there. It's all clearly, and the regulator, INEC, is also still silent, playing deaf and dumb. These are obvious signs of his failed state. And if the historical background which I have mentioned, it's clear. And it was not possible under UPN, MPN, INRCS, TV4, and Ododo, who just came out of a public controversy, to go and conduct, to go and manage a democratic process. No, it wouldn't have been allowed. It wouldn't have, none of those party leaders would have. We're talking about the likes of Akinloye, Chief Lulu Briggs, and the rest of them. They wouldn't have allowed it. It wouldn't have happened. But this is where we are. It's a reflection of where we are, society. If we need to move forward, these are fundamentals that must be addressed. If the channels that brings out leadership is not properly addressed, you keep having all kind of flawed decisions. We were here in 2015. A minister of education decided to reduce pass marks to a jam into universities. Something that when in 1982, when I had to get almost 270 to study political science, today you 120, you're getting to university. Only on Monday, we're hearing the minister
120.
I have 151 to even 100, so they will take you if you pay those private schools. Who is checking? The PhD at Punabo is talking about, they're selling it now. It's available. The number of first class in the country today is reflective of where we are. When we went to school nationwide, first class, 5, 10, it was not possible. Nationwide. Today you have 4,000. We had researchers to back it. You don't have them. So the question here is, what does President Tinubu want? How does he want to write them in history? These are fundamentals here. Yeah.
My brother Eugene, please. I don't understand what you mean by what does. President Tinubu was when it comes to education. Let's leave that aside, I beg you.
That's a whole different conversation, Eugene. We'll leave that conversation for another day.
Let's leave that aside.
In terms of Nigeria, he wants.
We're talking about a legacy here. Because, of course, really,
let's talk about legacy.
To pick up from where Eugene stopped, there has to be a legacy. Somebody has to start, you know, from somewhere. If we must change the dynamics within the political parties, then it has to start from somewhere. And see, what better place to start with, other than the people who are in the leading party, the party that's at the helm of affairs. And Eugene, something that you just said that touched me. In the same climb, someone who's, just like you also said, Eugene, if you must come to equity, you must come with clean hands. Someone with the likes of Ododo and the scandal that, you know, he's just been named in, should not be, you know, trying to deliver anything that has democracy written around it. But so, Opunaba, back to you. Where do we start from now that we found ourselves where we found ourselves? Again, bearing in mind what happened in the just concluded election and the mess that we've continued to make, even in the off-cycle elections up until last weekend. Where do we start from? Where do we start cleaning house from?
Revolution.
What sort of revolution?
You must destroy a system to save the system.
How so?
Yes, there are no two ways. You see, these persons we are talking about are in charge. Without mentioning names, and Eugene understands what I'm going to talk about right now. You have persons that were derided, vilified for their illegal and dangerous ass, who are today acknowledged and worshipped and even made kings in their states. And these persons are worshipped and respected by followers. Now, what legacy are you bequeathing to the younger generations? That's the first question you ask yourself. Because let me tell you, if, for example, a father who has a PhD today within 8 years in office and cannot defend his secondary school certificate, if his son comes to him to say, "Daddy, this lecturer is proving stubborn," what do you think that father will say to that lecturer, to that son? "My friend, that's none of my business. Anyhow you want to pass, go and pass. If you have problems, come and tell me." That child graduates from the university. What has he learned? Because it is both in character and learning. What has he learned? Nothing. The lecturer that is even lecturing that child is even telling him, "Go and bring money, you're going to pass." We just saw on Kakaki today where a lecturer was being arrested for harassing a girl who is even married. To what end? So that she was going to make her exams. But because of her decency, she refused. Either her decency or because she didn't like that particular lecturer. But she refused. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. She refused. And that is why we are hearing. What of the ones we've not heard or we are not going to hear? Because look at the graduates we churn out today. Most of them, ask them to communicate with you in English. You weep. I will tell you something. A senior advocate of Nigeria, resident in Port Harcourt, a professor today, went to court and said, "My Lord, this matter is worse." That's a sad. It happened in Port Harcourt. Another one at a conference, SAN, said they have postponed the meeting. Why are you biting your head? That was the way the judge reacted. They have postponed it. Now you begin to ask yourself, senior advocate, how did he get to that rank, if not politics? That's why I say, it's a revolution. We have to destroy the system to save the system. Now, it permeates leadership as well. Now, you have to accuse the EFCC of one thing or not being active or thereabout. Now, I don't want to go this other way, but maybe you might understand. If you talk of certificate forgery today, will it make sense to certain persons? That's the question. If you talk of drug today, won't it be seen as a pastime to certain persons? Now, you talk of Andy Uba, that one I'll mention his name, in the Senate, who defected without any schism in his party. He's still there in the Senate. We are talking of the House of Assembly members in River State, 27 of them. They are still there. And when the president was asked, this one I'll say it because he said it open. When was he said, will anybody reject a child brought to his home, born into his house? So until we cherry pick, we stop cherry picking the truth of justice, we'll never get it right. Nepotism is a bane, like under Buhari's government. And that's where we are today. And you still have persons, human beings, supporting them and singing their praises. Sycophancy. Today, go to church. You see those same criminals sitting in front, the front row. They occupy the front row. And their praises, they sing their praises on a daily basis. And they build churches. From the fruits of their crime, they build churches. And our bishops will go and commission and open those churches. So where do you start from? No, where do you start from?
Let me jump in here.
Yes.
All right.
Recently, there was an incident that happened in Dunamis. And everybody, the emphasis was on the pastor's conduct.
Mm.
But 30 years ago, if the same incident had happened, the next day, Nigerian Legal Counsel would have asked for the rich transcripts of that lady.
Yes, exactly.
And that department will have been suspended until they go and investigate NUC, and everybody will go there to investigate how she obtained those certificates, how she got into the police to acquire the rank she did. Nigeria.
BSC law. A graduate of law saying BSC law.
Yes. But you see where Nigeria is. Everybody is was more interested in the conduct. People even came on social media to say that English is not her language.
Eugene, because the matter was water.
We need to go on a break, guys.
And the issue was postponed.
We need to go on a quick break. When we come back, Eugene, we're going to talk about solutions to the problem. And Upunaba, I'm going to take you up on something that you're yet to explain to the latter. We'll be right back. It's still the Big Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Everyone says I'm beautiful and bold. They say I'm fashionable. And to crown it up, very confident. And my secret is...
People say I'm good looking, funny, hardworking, and to crown it up, very confident. And my secret is...
So whether in the office or at home...
In the streets or on the dance floor...
Anytime, any day, I never lose my confidence. And the secret to my confidence is Wazobia perfume.
Absolutely. Wazobia perfume gives the authenticity and long-lasting fragrance all day. That's my secret confidence.
Wazobia perfume is available in body spray.
Also available in supermarkets and markets near you.
You can also get it on Jumia and all MedPlus pharmacy nationwide.
Wazobia perfume, the correct scent.
Meals have a way of taking us on a journey. And when you add plenty of vegetables like efo, ugu, and season with the rich taste of North seasoning cubes.
It's still the Big Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Mary Anna Kona. Still with me, Opunabo Inko Taria, Eugene Abels. And we have been talking about the need for internal democracies within political parties in the country and the reason why this has not been, and if there be any solutions. My guests have been talking about the antecedents of all these problems and, of course, where we are today and where we might be going to in the future. Oh my goodness, I think we lost Eugene, but Eugene's going to come back to join us on the live feed. But before we got this far in the conversation, you talked about, you know, destroying the system in order to be able to rebuild it. And you tried as much as possible to point us in a certain direction, but there are people who are still not understanding. How do you destroy something in order to rebuild it? In one sentence, so that I can go back to Eugene.
one sentence.
Okay. I'm boxing you into a corner.
You see, what we have, sadly, is a situation where mediocrity has outdistanced meritocracy. And unfortunately, those who are guilty of this anomaly are still the ones in office and were still entrenched. They are cronies that believe in what they do.
Mm.
So you can't really change it. So when I said you destroy a system to save a system, what I meant was, take for example, a faulty foundation. No matter how beautiful the house is, it remains precarious.
Mm.
For anybody to live in that building. The safest thing to do, any engineering expert will tell you, is to bring down that building to do a proper foundation.
Mm.
You can also destroy a system to save a system using the Ghana approach, but coups are outdated. But we are just saying hypothetically.
Mm.
For example, Jerry Rawlings in Ghana. You saw what he did. We are all aware. The drastic measures he took. That is destroying a system to save a system. Unlike in Nigeria, where certain judges, excuse me, certain governors will not even want to sign the death warrant that is prescribed by law for some sentimental, ridiculous, offensive, pestiferous reasons, thinking without signing that death warrant, if they sign that death warrant, they will not go to heaven. Whereas the embezzlement, the fraud they commit is worse than that death warrant because the man is already guilty of an offense. But the money you're stealing is not guilty of any offense. So that hypocrisy is what is destroying our society. I always tell people what we practice in Nigeria is socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor.
Okay.
Look at the National Assembly members. How many the cars they are buying in a depressed economy? People can barely feed. You're buying a car worth 100 and something million naira.
Okay.
That's what I said, legislature. How do you justify that?
Let me bring Eugene back into the conversation because Eugene is back with us. Eugene, before you disappeared, I was going to ask you, what do you think would be a solution to the problems that we're facing internally in political parties who are selling, democracy to the people? Because again, I had a conversation yesterday about how people have lost interest in governance. In, you know, when we talk about participation in the democratic process, a lot of people have lost steam. How do you even get them to believe in the system again, to want to even get involved, to even want to say, I want to become a member of a political party. I want to know what happens in my ward. I want to be able to, you know, get involved with the person who wants to run to be a councillor or even a local government chairman. What are the possible solutions? Eugene, please.
Yeah, like when I said that, depends on what President Tinubu, what legacy he wants to leave. Look at what
the situation is so tough and hot that you've come out of your car. The Nigerian situation.
Look at what has happened in the central bank and what Cardoso is doing. It's a deliberate in which Okunabo's means whereby you need to destroy hypothetically.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Yes. So we need that kind of deliberate work to be done with our regulator INEC, irrespective of selfish motives. Now, is there a reason to do that? Yes. I pointed out what happened in the First Republic and the Second Republic. And anybody who does not think history is important should consider what you just said now. So it's very important. We need to go back to the basis. I'm not telling you to add it. I'm just telling you, implement the law, the constitution as applies to a regulator of our democracy, of our electoral process. Let political parties' membership be open. Let banish the delegate elections. Let there be accountability of their funding. They're supposed to do their financials are supposed to be open annually after elections, where they raise funds for. In America, people go to prison if they get money from sources which they cannot declare for political purposes. If we don't handle this, fundamentals must be done if Nigeria needs to survive. The same attitude we've used in dealing with issues have emboldened even foreigners to come here, kill us, and Nigerians will be supporting them that there were causes across the border. We are almost finished. President Tinubu will have nothing to govern if he does not deal with these fundamentals. And these fundamentals, politics is local. When you begin to set the rules straight, if you want to govern, you want to lead, go and campaign to the people who have decided that they want to join this group that uses an umbrella or that group that uses a broom. They didn't ask you to represent them. They believe that if they come there, their political aspirations can be met. We need to tear it apart, line by line, precept upon, and rebuild, and insist that we get a proper person to run INEC that will make these things functional. If we don't do it, we are heading for danger. People will laugh at it because a lot of young people have not experienced a coup before. They've not experienced civil war and political upheaval before. They've not
NSAS.
The no grievous rest. Anytime you tell them, say, look at what happened. I asked them, do you know how many times soldiers beat us to enable you get the democracy? Do you know how many times? And you people are carrying your schools, all of you are executioners. You belong to various cult groups. You have guns. Small soldiers attack. You couldn't attack back. You couldn't protect your own. In 1983, the riots that took place that shut down the country in 1984 was carried out by girls in universities. I was in school then. The men ran away. So that if the bad women had kept quiet, things wouldn't have changed. People died to make this possible. Yeah.
1929.
So, yes, we need to dismember this political process. Yes, let's put that thinking. This idea of just carry go. Look at Ododo. Governor Ododo is the one coming to conduct primaries. What do you expect? A man who is elected and is kneeling down before his predecessor, not kneeling before the people. He will just take instructions, as simple as that.
Mm.
So, yes, this is not the standard. And I that's why I tell people, the people who built Nigeria were the 20-year-old British people. They organized Nigeria. We came with our PhDs and ruined the country. And we'll be making noise. Oh, you bought this. Their fathers ruled us. Now the children are ruling us. We will not progress with this kind of if we cannot run basic elections and run basic political parties or public organizations that are supposed to provide the best of the best of our leaders. Like Obunabo said, currently our third 11 are running things. And when your third 11 run, they'll be providing manpower for the colonial administration, not manpower to contend with those doing STEM.
Hmm. I want to open up the phone lines because Nigerians are listening.
Now, before you open up the phone lines, let me give you another
open good example. Open up, we don't have time. No, 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 we
let
don't have time.
Give you a good example.
No. Open up, we don't have time. Calm down. Calm down. We
you
have
it in River State.
No.
You have it in River State. We are saying Fubara has destroyed the system to save the state.
Okay. All right. Well, let's open up the phone line. 0201-465-7190. I have just 5 minutes, everybody. I'll give everybody 30 seconds to make their points quickly because we're almost out of time. 30 seconds. So 0201-465-7190. If you're watching us from outside of the country, join us via Skype or Nigeria Info FM. On Facebook Live, we're live on Facebook and on YouTube. You can post your comments also. We would like to hear from you. Hello. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Mazude. I'm calling you from Edo.
Mazude, 30 seconds.
I understand these two gentlemen. Whatever they are saying there is perfect. But with now, this is time for we to stop talking about what is happening to us. Solution. The solution today, the revolution we need to bring out today is the revolution of knowledge. Because those people, there is no knowledge, they use knowledge to overthrow us. So we need to use knowledge to bring ourselves back to life. That is
okay. So use knowledge to fight knowledge.
Knowledge, The knowledge is in the native word of life.
All right.
Easy way.
All right.
That can bring us up, which we know about. Free of charge, we believe.
Thank you very much, Mazudi. Lovely, lovely point. Hello. Welcome to Hard Facts.
I love that.
Hello. Good evening.
Yes. Good evening. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello. This is Sheriff from the
Sheriff, go ahead, please.
Yeah. I think this gentleman has raised the...
Sheriff, I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
I think these two gentlemen have raised the very, very point. Right? I think the problem of this country is basically leaders. Because who are our leaders? There's nothing to call them but a thief. So that's what I want to say. So all these people are wiped out. I think our problem is solved. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So get rid of bad leaders and our problems are solved. Okay. Let me take another quick call. Hello. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, Marianne.
Good evening.
In fact, this man, see, what we need now is continuous sensitization. Just like the man you brought today. We need such people to come live either on radio on national television consistently, so that people mentality, people that have been programmed, they can be reprogrammed to understand that these ones we have now, they are not there to help us. This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Sarigo.
Thank you very much for keeping the time to Pastor Ladipo. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, Miriam.
Good evening.
My question to your guest is that how are we expecting the people who are benefiting from the system, you know, that the ones controlling the system, you know, to self-destruct the system? You know, that is my question, because their thought is provocatively, positive. But how are we expecting these same people, you know, to destroy the system?
Okay, great. Who's going to take on that response? I'll give you both 30 seconds each.
Like your speaker says, sensitization. But don't forget that just like the NSAS that my brother Eugene mentioned, just like the NSAS, you know, when a man is pushed to the wall, he bounces back with redoubled efforts. It's a spontaneous reaction, and it's definitely going to happen. It's a matter of time. They say the moon moves slowly, but by daybreak it has crossed the sky. Mm. It will happen.
Okay. Eugene.
For me, the people must begin to remember that they own the country. Total number of elected officers are less than 15,000 people. Add the four people they feed, they probably are talking about 60,000 people, over 200 people. They have forced us to begin to think that they own us and the wealth. The wealth belongs to you, the people. That's why an Ododo can go and kneel down before a Yaya Bello.
You will not leave this Ododo man alone, eh?
Yes.
It's an embarrassment.
Team Fubara could have kept quiet and joined the status quo and made money and go, but he decided to take a different path.
Exactly.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, because I have less than a minute, let me just read one message and then, of course, I'm going to thank my guest. Somebody says, I want to confirm something from one of your guests that he suggested. Is there a review of the electoral law in the National Assembly as we speak? Bao from Ikorodu.
They're working on amending the constitution, but they have not done, I would have expected a bottoms-up approach.
Yes.
Where you ask the people to come and have public conversation. What aspects of the constitution do we find wanting that you want? Or they're acting as if they send themselves there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have town halls and let people come in and express, you know, whatever aspects.
And set an agenda for you.
Absolutely. But that's not the case. Well, gentlemen, this is a conversation that can...
I can't show any people talk. It is as if you're expecting to see God on earth tomorrow. Who assembly? Which leadership?
We have to go. Open our ball. We have to go. Unfortunately, we have 30 seconds, so I have to thank you properly. Open our ball, Inko Taria, Eugene Abels. I want to thank you both, gentlemen, for being part of the conversation this evening. I wish we had more than an hour to just go on and have this conversation.
Thank you.
But let's hope that we can continue to have these conversations over and over again, and maybe help deconstruct the mindset that we already have about, you know, our leadership and governance.
We'll construct bridges and flyovers. Don't worry. Don't be concerned.
Well, thank you so much. Lagos, great conversation that we've had. And I want to say thank you for being part of the conversation. We'll take a break. When we come back from the break, I'll be saying my goodbyes properly on the show. Stay with us.